بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، صلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. اللهم زدنا علما كثيرا وفقها في الدين وعملا متقبلا يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم اجعلنا ممن يستمعون القول فيتبعون أحسنه، ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله وهو العلي العظيم. أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Welcome all of you to today's class, which is the 54th in the series on the fiqh of Tahara. And inshallah today we're continuing a hadith which we began last time. A very, very beautiful hadith filled with many lessons, many pearls of knowledge that the ulama have derived through extensive study and reflection. We began the hadith of Mughira ibn Shu'bah, who was a young companion of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who accompanied him, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as well as a contingent of the Sahaba in the Battle of Tabuk. The Battle of Tabuk, which was in the 9th year of Hijrah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, during this battle, he left to go and answer the call of nature, and Mughira ibn Shu'bah followed him, and this was shortly after Fajr, or the beginning of Fajr time. When the Prophet ﷺ had finished his salah, he finished his answering of the call of nature, he returned, and Mughira ibn Shu'bah poured the water for him to make wudu, and he went to pull his khufs, remove his khufs. As you remember from last time, the Prophet ﷺ said, "Leave them on, I put them on in purity." And then they returned. They went back to the contingent of Sahaba, and they found that the Sahaba had begun the salah for Fajr. And the one that they had chosen was Abdurrahman ibn Auf to lead them in Salah. And the Prophet ﷺ, when he came, Mughira wanted to tell Abdurrahman ibn Auf, "Come back, Rasulullah is here, let him lead the Salah." The Prophet ﷺ said, "Leave him where he is." He joined behind Abdurrahman ibn Auf. He prayed in the line with the Sahaba. He prayed behind Abdurrahman ibn Auf. When he finished, he had joined in the second rak'ah of Fajr. So when Abdurrahman ibn Auf said the Taslim, the Prophet ﷺ stood up, finished his salah, and when the Sahaba saw Rasulullah ﷺ praying with them behind the saf, they were shocked. They said, "How could we pray with the Prophet ﷺ behind us?" They felt scared and shocked. The Prophet ﷺ, he saw them and he said, "Ahsantum." He said, "You have done well." Because he saw that they were scared, he said, "You have done well. Allah does not take the soul of a prophet until he has prayed behind someone from his ummah. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَقْبَضُ رُوحَ نَبِيٍّ حَتَّى يُصَلِّي خَلْفَ أَحَدٍ مِنْ أُمَّتِهِ." So this is the completion of the hadith that we began last time. We had many pearls of knowledge. Inshallah today we'll have a few more بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. Some of the lessons that we learned, we began last time, we talked about how when the Prophet ﷺ returned and Mughira ibn Shu'bah, he wanted to tell Abdurrahman ibn Auf to come back, the Prophet ﷺ said, "Leave him where he is." This shows us a very important lesson, which is that the prayer of any person, even if he's of a higher rank or a higher level of knowledge or a higher level of fiqh, behind somebody who has a lesser level of knowledge or lesser amount of fiqh or understanding of the Qur'an, it is still correct and valid. There's no harm in praying behind somebody who has a lesser level of knowledge as long as that person is qualified to lead the salah. The Prophet ﷺ, he prayed behind one of his sahaba. There's no doubt he is the most right, he is the imam of the ummah to lead the salah, but he prayed behind Abdurrahman ibn Auf, and that prayer was correct and valid. Another important lesson that we learned from the hadith, of course, we talked about, is choosing a righteous and noble person to lead in the salah. They chose Abdurrahman ibn Auf, who was one of the best of them. We also learned from this how the Prophet ﷺ completed his prayer at the end. We talked about last time how in the beginning the sahaba, they would come to the saf if they were late, and they would ask the last person in line, "Which rak'ah are you in?" And then he would tell them how many rak'ahs, if they were in the third rak'ah, then that person joining the salah, he would quickly make up the rak'ahs that he missed and then join with the imam. So later on, Ibn Kathir, he mentions how the Salah, it developed, and Mu'adh ibn Jabal, he loved the Prophet so much, he said, Wallahi, I will not join the prayer with the Prophet except I'm going to start wherever he is. He didn't feel comfortable praying while the Prophet was in a different part of the prayer. So he came and joined, and he just followed Rasulullah until he finished, then Mu'adh stood up and finished his prayer. And when the Prophet saw this, he said, Mu'adh has done a good thing. He's done a good sunnah. He started a good sunnah, follow Mu'adh. So this is how the prayer, it became this new aspect of the prayer came about. This is the type of sunnah called taqreer, where the Prophet he approved of something and it became part of the sunnah. And we saw that in the Adhan also. When they wanted to start the Adhan, then some of them said, let's blow on a horn. Some of them said, let's ring a bell. And then Umar and some other Sahaba, they had a dream where they heard the words of the Adhan, and the Prophet ﷺ approved of that, and that became part of the Sunnah. So this is one lesson that we learn as well. Another lesson that we learn from this hadith, a very, very important lesson, and a beautiful lesson, is that when the Sahaba saw the Prophet ﷺ, they were shocked. He said, how could we pray when the Prophet ﷺ was here behind? And so this shows their love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they respected him and they loved him so much. He wanted him to pray in front. They didn't want to pray behind anybody else. They wanted the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to be their imam. And also what we see is the sensitive nature of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his subtle understanding of the psychology of the Sahaba. When he saw that they were shocked, they were scared, then he said, "Don't worry, you did good." He was aware of the Sahaba around him. He was aware of their feelings. He said, don't worry, you did something good. You know, you wanted to pray and the time was late, the time came in, and you wanted to pray in the early time, so you did something good. So he was aware of the people around him, and of the Sahaba, and he spoke to their condition, their psychological condition. And here the fuqaha, they say that an imam or a leader or a president or anybody who has responsibility over people, it's from the sunnah to praise the good actions that they do. Just as the Prophet ﷺ, he said, Ahsantum, you did good. Whenever a person who has responsibility, even a parent to his children, we always say that this is wrong and we dispraise them for the wrong, but also we should praise them for the good that they do. And that will encourage them, that will motivate them to do that more. This is one lesson we learn from the Prophet ﷺ. Another lesson that we learn here, and this is something mentioned by Imam Shafi'i, is the importance or the preference of praying Salah in the earliest time. Because the Sahaba in this hadith, they began the Fajr time, as soon as Fajr came in, they sent somebody and they started the Salah. They didn't wait all the way to the end of the time for the Prophet ﷺ to come, but they did the Salah as soon as the time came in. So this shows you that it's more preferred to pray our Salah as soon as the time comes in. This is much more reward and this is better and more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rather than delaying it to a later or to the end of the time. And one more lesson, inshallah, this is the final lesson and a very important and beautiful lesson. The words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah does not take the soul of a prophet until he has prayed behind somebody from his ummah. A few words, but actually they encompass so much great meaning, so much vast meaning. What did the Prophet ﷺ mean by this? That Allah will not take the soul of a prophet until he prayed behind somebody from his ummah. What was the meaning behind this? The meaning was, when the Prophet ﷺ or any prophet he sent to his people, he sent to them because they're in a state of jahiliyyah and ignorance, and they're in need of guidance and of wahi and tarbiyah and upbringing to take them out of their state of jahiliyyah to the light of knowledge, to take them out of their ignorant actions to the light and the nur of Islam and the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No prophet was sent to a people who were already obedient to Allah. He sent to them in a state of ignorance and obedience, and then his mission, his calling is to bring them out of that state of ignorance into the state of knowledge. And we see how the prophets, when they left, when they completed their mission, those people that they came to, they were rectified, they were upright, and they were ready to teach the rest of the people or the rest of the world how to be upright. They rectified themselves, and they rectified other people when they went out and spread the knowledge or the message of Islam. We look at in the case of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If we know, we all know perhaps a little bit about the Jahiliyyah, right? The time before the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came, maybe you heard some stories about what happened in Arabia. They used to kill their baby girls. They would bury them in the ground while they're alive. They used to, the powerful, the strong would take away the wealth of the weak. And there was widespread ignorance and paganism. They worshipped idols. They were an ignorant nation. Ignorant people, shepherds of and herders of animals, but an ignorant people. This is why that period before Islam is referred to as Jahiliyyah. Perhaps you know Jahiliyyah in Arabic. Jahl, it's the opposite of knowledge. Jahl in Arabic, it means two things. Either lack of knowledge or ignorant actions or behavior. So it's bad manners and character and lack of knowledge. So that was the characteristics of the Arabs before Islam. That they used to oppress each other, kill one another. There was widespread killing. And they had very little knowledge of, they would worship idols and rocks and stones. What happened when the Prophet ﷺ came? What happened after a period of only 23 years? These shepherds who used to worship stones and rocks, they became the most advanced and civilized leaders of the earth to ever walk on the face of the earth. They became, all of their around them became rectified. They worshipped Allah alone. As Ja'far, one of the Sahaba who went to Ethiopia and he met with the king, the Habash, the king of Ethiopia, Najashi, he said, "We used to worship stones, we used to kill our daughters. The Prophet ﷺ came, he taught us to be kind to our neighbor, to treat each other justly and kindly, to respect our parents, to build the ties of kinship." So this message, within a period of 23 years, the Sahaba went from the most ignorant shepherds of camels and sheep to people who could lead the whole world at that time. Umar ibn al-Khattab, he became the leader of the whole world at that time. So this message that the Prophet ﷺ brought, it took them out of ignorance into the state of guidance. And this took place in a period of time of only 23 years. So here we see that the Prophet ﷺ, in the Battle of Tabuk, which was almost at the end of the Prophet's life, the ninth year of Hijra, he's saying to the Sahaba, "Allah will not take the soul of a prophet until he prayed behind somebody from his ummah." He's telling them, Islam has brought its fruit. The prophet is now, he's a leader, now somebody else can lead him. That means that you have become trained, your character has become perfected, your personalities have become perfected and up, brought up in a way that now you are ready to lead the nation. You can lead the nation and lead other nations and guide other people. He was showing them, or he was teaching them, that Allah Azza wa Jal, when he completes his risala, then the Prophet prays behind somebody else from his ummah, then Allah will take away the soul of that Prophet, because the message has reached its fruition. Now the Sahaba were ready, they were trained, and they were the best people to ever live on the face of this earth. It doesn't matter how many people followed them. What matters is that they were the prototype for nations to come in the future. Just because they had few followers, it doesn't mean that they were not the most great, perfect leaders to ever live on the face of the earth. Islam had trained them how to live intellectually, culturally, socially. It had taught them all of the requirements needed for leadership. They were ready now to lead the earth and be leaders of nations, because they had all of the capacity to lead people as the Prophet ﷺ had taught them. So this was the message of the Prophet ﷺ to the Sahaba. This was the ninth year of Hijra, the next year, and it was called the Farewell Pilgrimage. Allah revealed the ayah, today I have perfected for you your deen and perfected my blessing upon you. And the message came and was completed. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, or the Prophet is telling us, Allah will not take the soul away from the Prophet until he prays behind somebody from his nation. What he meant is that the message is now complete. The Sahaba were individuals who are now ready to rule the whole dunya and rectify it, just as they themselves have become rectified. So that was the final lesson, or one of the final lessons we learned from this hadith, how the Messenger of Allah ﷺ had finished the conveyance of the message and brought up and perfected the character of the Sahaba. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Wa jazakum allahu khair. Sallallahu ala Muhammad wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Jazakum allahu khair. If there's any questions, you're welcome to ask, inshaAllah ta'ala. Yes, Brother Abdul.
Jazakallahu khair.
Brother Yusuf. Tariq. Khair, inshallah. Jazakallahu khair. May Allah reward you and give you all beneficial knowledge, inshallah. Wa sallallahu ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Walhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Jazakallahu khair.